close your eyes and believe in Jesse we trust. You should have that as a shirt, Janine. In Jesse we trust.
Jesse we trust.
It almost sounds like Jesus anyway.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many other things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and heavy topics, you'll gain fresh insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. This fun and quirky podcast is sponsored by ScaleWind, outsourcing made smarter. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
All right. Good morning to everyone. We are now here at None of Your Business. Today is another special Monday. I have a very special guest. This is, it's definitely the first time or the first episode where I have two guests joining me in this show. And we are going to discuss something spicy today. We're going to talk about supportive partners to entrepreneurs, how to be a supportive partner, how to be a supportive partner if you're the entrepreneur in the relationship, or if you have a career or a job, the black and white, the good and bad, and all the things. So today I have two of my friends. I bullied them into coming to this podcast, Janine and Jesse. Welcome.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, people?
Hey guys, how are you today? By the way, these guys just got married, so let's congratulate them. How are your first few days as husband and wife?
Amazing. Highly recommended. Just crushing it.
I love it. I love it. What are your KPIs?
Hasn't left me yet and still smiling. We're a 2 for 2 right now.
Yeah, that's right. I think Janine feels the same way. She's already like giggling in the background. So, you know, one of the things that one of our most hit episode here at None of Your Business is actually when we talked about dating as an entrepreneur. But you guys, you know, you guys have been together for quite a while. You just got married, definitely super duper serious, but you're also super duper serious about both of your careers and your business. So let's do it from the start and tell the story of when did you guys meet and what was your business or your career then compared to now?
So we met in 2018 via Tinder. We are a Tinder success story. and back then I had a corporate job. I was doing marketing for a recruitment firm in the Philippines.
I see.
Yeah, so when we met, I was nomading around. Philippines was definitely one of my spots that I went to pretty regularly, enjoyed my time in Manila. And so I was running a number of businesses at that time. But yeah, definitely I was in full entrepreneur mode. And then I met this corporate girl.
And I was in full corporate mode.
Full corporate mode. What was that like when you met Jesse that time, Janine? What did you think of entrepreneurship? Were you always drawn to the idea of being an entrepreneur or being location independent, being a digital nomad? How did it start?
I wasn't really actively seeking, you know, like entrepreneurs or nomads. Mm-hmm. I was attracted to people who happen to have that mindset, though, like the more, I don't know, worldly, I guess you could say, mindset, which in the Philippines usually happens to be digital nomads who are passing through. Yeah, I wasn't actively looking for it, but somehow I was, that's what I landed. What did I think of entrepreneurship? I didn't really have a full grasp of it in the way that I do now. You know, when I hear entrepreneur back then, I would think of, you know, people who own a shop or a store, like a physical thing, not
more traditional.
Yeah, like not really anything online, because I wasn't as exposed to it back then as I am now. definitely learned a lot though in the last years of what entrepreneurship means and what it can, you know, what it can be for different people.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely, it's a different point of view, because you sound like you're more like neutral to it. Like, oh, you have an idea. It's not necessarily like what you aspired. You like the person that you met as he is, and that was it. So what about you, Jesse? What are your thoughts when you, you know, met and liked this girl, and possibly in your mind, you're already planning to, ooh, maybe I can take her to trips with me, or maybe I can make the idea of being an entrepreneur attractive to her. What were the thoughts in your mind on your first, I would say, few days or weeks of getting to know Janine?
I think the main takeaway is just like learning about the skill sets that she had learned in her corporate job, and basically how easily those could be applied to being an entrepreneur and the nomad world, and, you know, basically how she could get a lot better pay than she would get in the Philippines. And she was already kind of ready to live in this lifestyle and just didn't really know it. You know, a lot of people try to figure out like, oh, well, what skills could I have or what jobs could I do? But since she had already been doing a lot of things that were really set up for success, it was pretty easy. I could see the vision very quickly that there was a lot of potential for her to become a successful entrepreneur and also, you know, become a partner as a nomad and this kind of stuff. It was just, I had to kind of show the way a little bit and say, hey, look, you have these skills. This is how you could apply them to working online and obviously make way more money than you would make in the Philippines working a corporate job, which is, you know, for the skill set, probably one of the lowest paid places in the world for the amount of skills that Filipinos have. So it kind of makes it an easy sell when you say, hey, look, here's some jobs online. Here's some gigs from other entrepreneurs that would want to hire you to do some stuff. You know, you have great English, you have marketing skills. It's really an easy win, I felt like.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, I grew up in the Philippines, so this hits very close to me. The idea of, you know, if you have a corporate job over there and you're not, you know, you could be paid more at least three times with the skills that you have. Plus, you get to have freedom. Like, it's not really a very difficult thing to sell. So what are your guys' thoughts on if one of the partners is an entrepreneur and the other one is not, how would the entrepreneur partner convince the other person to maybe start a business or finally, or at least consider or be more open to it? Because I feel like we have some listeners who might be interested in that.
For me, it was a, I don't know, not very slow, but it was a slow progression, or I don't know, to change my mindset, because I like to play it safe, I guess you could say, where like, no, but I'm fine in my job. Like, why would I want to risk, you know, being paid every month a certain amount and like
plus benefits.
Know, yeah, plus benefits, plus everything else. Like, it's safe here. Why should I leave the safe bubble of mine for something that's very risky when all my life I've been very risk averse? What Jesse's been good at is slowly showing me what it's like and providing a safe space for me as well, where what's the worst that can happen is what he usually says. Like, okay, we do this, you start your own business, what's the worst that can happen? You go back to Manila and you find another job. Okay,
so basically where you are.
Yeah, it's like where, yeah, so like it's not that bad to try, and it's also good that he was very supportive, and, you know, he was very, very vocal about his want for me to succeed. It's not just for him to have a partner to travel with. It's also for me to be able to fully be my own self.
That's absolutely beautiful. Jesse definitely obviously made a really good job, did a really good job in like his leadership. And then he gave you also, you know, safety and protection of, if, you know, if the worst will happen, I'll be here and I'll support you. And then he gave you the space to grow. So that's definitely awesome. So I'll shift this other next question to Jesse, for Jesse to answer first. What do you think are the top three qualities of a good partner?
Of a good partner? I would say for me, it's always been honesty is really high up there. So, you know, even if you don't like it, one thing that I think has been very successful for us and just relationships I've seen in my life are putting that honesty really first, even if it's hard, even if it's tough to deal with. Because if you can keep that honesty at the forefront, then it saves for a lot of troubles later and can help you work through some issues, even if you don't agree on them all. So I think the honesty is good. I think someone that you actually generally get along with. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you find yourself in late night chats about everything and anything, I always found that to be a good sign that you actually get along as well. And then the third thing I think would be having a natural chemistry that can keep you interested in all sides of the relationship for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Those sound really, really good. And it definitely showed in the way that Janine talked about, you know, this big decision of her to finally start a business or go nomading with you, because as she shared, she's a very risk averse person. And in the Philippines, that was taught to us, you know, to be grateful of what you have, to be, you know, to be safe, to follow this straight line that we've built for you. And we were rewarded in, you know, in following that line. So what about you, Janine? Aside from what Jesse shared, what do you think are the top three qualities of a good partner?
Three qualities.
Handsome. I think she said really, really, really handsome.
I guess for me, it's, yeah, like the being supportive. I mean, for me, like being supportive and being patient with my growth was very important for me. What else? I mean, you already said honesty, and that's definitely at the forefront of our relationship. I think it's important to be on the same page on what you want in life. And like, for example, like we spoke about early on what we want for a future. Like, do we want kids? What kind of lifestyle do we want to live? Uh-huh. You know, you don't wait for a few years to answer these questions.
Right.
So knowing where you are as a relationship, as people, it's important to know like what you want in the future as well. So, you know, like we're on the same page of like, okay, we're not going to have kids. We're going to be jumping around for a while. We're just yeah. going to be enjoying this trip called life. So, yeah. yeah. And another thing is, yes, be a really good couple, but also allow each other to be their own selves. So you don't have to do everything together. I like to just stay at home sometimes and, you know, watch my YouTube and whatever. Jesse likes to go out with his friends. And it's fine. Like, there's no like, oh, you're going out with your friends again. I'm at home alone, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, it's right. fine. I want him to enjoy. And I trust him when he's out. And, you know, I'm just at home chilling.
No, I hear you.
And it's, yeah, it's fine. Like, you don't have to do everything together. I think is the main point. It's okay to let the other person do their own thing and trust them to still at the end of the day be with you.
Yeah. So apparently it's like, you know, to summarize all of your points, it's like honesty, you know, being supportive, being good communicators, being patient, and being on the same page. Those are really, really good, basically like things that we should all put on our checklist, because I think choosing a partner is like really contributory to the quality of your life, which will dictate the quality of your business, the quality of your home, and the quality of your health. Like it's really a big factor. And to allow each other, you said, to be their own selves and to give them space to grow as well, because that helps them to be a good partner. When you guys were not like both entrepreneurs or both traveling, when it was just Jesse who was an entrepreneur and you were an employee or a corporate girl, what were the things that you noticed were kind of downsides or could be considered as downsides of dating an entrepreneur? Was it like the schedule, the attention, and how can we get over those downsides? and make it work?
I think the schedule is both like an advantage and a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, it's they own their time basically. But at the same time, when, you know, when the business calls for it, they have to shift that time into focusing on the business. So you have to understand that, yeah, sometimes you can just, you know, hey, we're going out for dinner tonight. Okay, great. Let's do that. Versus, oh, I can't go out at all this week because I want to focus on a project I've been working on. It's, yeah, it's an upside and a downside of dating someone who whose hours are theirs to do with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It takes some getting used to, especially as someone who used to have like a set schedule.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I'm getting out of work at 5. Do you want to meet up after? And he's going to be like, well, I just started working on my project. It's like, oh, okay. I guess we're not like, I'll see you tomorrow.
or when I say, hey, let's go to the beach for 4 days, like on Thursday, and I tell her on Wednesday, and then like, she's like, what?
I have to file for like a day off from my work. Like, I can't just take time off willy-nilly.
Yeah, I have to call this third entity in our relationship called HR. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, especially when you're getting to know each other, right? Like, you want to spend a lot of time together. And the schedule is definitely number one for, you know, one of the downsides. Personally, I would also share, although I think this has happened to me, you know, when I was younger, even if I wasn't dating an entrepreneur, kind of, it was kind of an issue. But sometimes the issue is also like financial. Like, if you're dating an entrepreneur, especially if they're starting out or they're younger, they would have kind of erratic financial situation because they're like trying different things or they're taking risks, right? For me, that was also a little bit of downside when I was younger, because if you're not super established yet, they would have some money problems. And we've all been there. We're way better now at handling money and our businesses are way better, but that was also kind of a one downside for me. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely always the case. And I think that also leads into that being financially agile, I guess we'll say, because there's going to be mm-hmm. different chapters in your life where you might have different levels of finance based on where you are in your project cycle or entrepreneurship cycle. So things might be going really well right now, and then there could be a change in your industry or your economy or your whatever. And this is back to the risk and that kind of stuff where, you know, if you're used to having that salary every month and it's very normal, and then, you know, we say, hey, this month we had a really big month, or this year we had a great year and everything was going good and we could afford some of the luxuries in life, and then some things shift and it's like, well, now that business isn't working so well, so the next 2 years are going to be grind years and we need to find the next thing. And there's a bit of ebb and flow there that you have to be prepared for, because I mean, that's the life of an entrepreneur. And obviously being in a relationship with one, that's something that you're going to have to be prepared for, that there might be a change in pace from what you originally started with.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, even if you're further along in your entrepreneurship journey, like say the pandemic just happened, I had a business that was making like 200K a year, and it was an event planning company, and it was just gone. It was just gone like that. And I've had that business for a long time. We just came back to doing businesses events last year, but it was such a tough time between 2020 and 2021. So, you know, that was a struggle for me financially within that particular business. And if I didn't have other businesses, I would actually have a really tough time surviving. In terms of mindset or moods, what do you think are other possible downsides of dating an entrepreneur? Is it like sometimes their mood is tied to how their business is, I guess, right? Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I guess for me, since, I don't know, my business is quote unquote seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
During those really high times, I do get more stressed. Mm-hmm. So you're like, you know, since I organize conferences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm getting closer to the date and, you know, the deadlines are getting closer and closer, I get more, yeah, more anxious, more stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a little snippy.
Remember how we mentioned that healthy apart time?
So, yeah, that's, you know, I recognize that I am like that when it comes to, you know, my events getting closer to happening. And you know, he's been good at dealing with me, at giving me my space or giving me the support I need when needed. Because yeah, it's like high pressure, so I put a lot of these thoughts in my head where like I need to make sure all of these things work, and for a short moment that becomes my priority. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a downside for him, I guess.
But I think this is like the thing with all types of entrepreneurship, just like, you know, your current hustle being doing different types of events for different organizations, you know, that has this very strong ebb and flow with the demands that it brings. That's going to be the case with any type of business. For the most part, there's going to be these higher pressure times. And I think one thing that we've found that can be a little bit tricky is deciding, being able to also be ebb and flowing with the life admin that's associated with your couple life. Mm. Because there's going to be certain times when I'm super busy with whatever we have going on. And, you know, we also still need to pay the bills and book a flight and, you know, set up dinner with the friends or whatever the thing is. And whoever is normally like handling life admin for your couple, that may need to switch back and forth a little bit depending on who's extra busy right now with their work.
Right. Yeah, I love that. I love that term, life admin, that you take turns into, you know, taking care of the home, basically, whatever that means to you, right? My partner works for Amazon and he had a really super duper busy time during the Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So it's just 2 weeks. He almost didn't have sleep. But even though I'm normally like busier than him, because he had Olympic week, that's what I call it. Every time he has those times, I did everything, almost everything at home. And I was just there to, you know, support him. So that's a really, really good point. Like as partners, you guys have to see how each other's business or work is doing and kind of pick up whatever life admin / chores that need to be done along the way. And it's not always physical, right? Sometimes it's emotional, you know, holding space for someone. Or, you know, when your partner comes to you and says, I just want to rant, like I just want to vent, or something like that. What are the business or entrepreneurship principles that you found to be beneficial that you apply in your relationship?
Oh, this is like how to set up your dating funnel.
This is the VSL.
I don't know. I think, I guess, probably just that general dynamicness. I think being an entrepreneur, as we've been talking about, you have to be very dynamic and be open to change and open to progressing and growing. And I think a healthy relationship has a lot of that. And, you know, being able to be dynamic and pivot in life as you grow as a person and as a couple is really important. And I think being an entrepreneur, you flex that muscle a lot because you're always trying to be dynamic and move forward with whatever that means for you in your business. And I think that that's true in life as a couple. And I feel like a lot of the entrepreneur couples I know are kind of better at that than mm-hmm. normie couples, because they're used to personal growth and change and moving forward as individuals and as a couple. So I think that being the entrepreneur kind of forces you to get good at that. And then if you apply that to your relationship, it can be super healthy and help you grow really well.
I love that. Also, I love that.
Yeah. It's also like just skipping the BS and going straight to the point of what you want versus, you know, beating around the bush on something. Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, you want to just like, okay, how do we get this done? Okay, let's do it. Versus like, well, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, like, let's find a way find a solution for this problem and let's act on it.
Right.
Yeah. You have that problem solving muscle that you use a lot because you don't want to waste time. You know, you need to be able to pivot quickly. So if you can apply some of that to your relationship, can be really helpful. Like say someone is one person in the relationship is, you know, feeling unhappy about their physical health. And then it's like, instead of just like complaining and not taking action, it's like, okay, well, what is it? Is it our diet? Do we need to change that? Do you want to try some mm-hmm. sort of, you know, coach, trainer for physical stuff? Like what, instead of just kind of, you know, continuing to get fat over 10 years, it's like, okay, right. Well, how can we assess this? If you're feeling that this isn't what you want, like let's apply all the tactics and we'll pivot 5 times until we get the one that works for you and move forward just like you would if you were trying to fix your ad funnel or whatever.
Your CRO. You know? Yeah, your exactly. CRO and your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I love that. I actually love that. Especially your guys' point about if you're an entrepreneur, you have this like problem solving muscle, just cutting through the chase, you know, in business, or if you're familiar with like the management trainings and certifications, like the Lean Six Sigma management principles of like defining the problem. This is the defining phase. And this is like considering the solutions and all of that. So all of these things can definitely be applied to your relationship. And it just makes the relationship better, and the problems, you know, you collapse the time that you spend in just dealing with problems. I find, have you noticed a lot of couples, like non-entrepreneur couples, have problems that just sit for years? Have you noticed those like old couples that they just like hate each other and they just hate each other? That's it.
Not even old couples. I feel like you see that in the normal world a lot more often. Part of it too, I think, is that when you have two people with normal jobs, and then even more if you throw a couple of kids in there, you know, they don't have the luxury that we have of spending a lot of time focusing on these things, talking through them. You know, the amount of FaceTime that they actually have together is very minimal. And so the time that they have to actually talk through these issues is pretty small, especially when they probably have a lot more life admin than we do. Mm-hmm. Especially if you live in the West, where less things are automated and you're just spending a lot more time doing life admin and you don't really have a lot of time to be a couple. So that's an easy spot for problems to fester for a long time and people to be too tired to deal with building a healthy relationship, et cetera.
Right. They don't have the bandwidth for it. So that's definitely true. And when you're in business, you're forced to be efficient, because if you're not efficient, you lose money. You're forced to innovate, because if you don't innovate, you die. So as entrepreneurs, these are the conversations that we have in our head. And if we have those conversations on default and we just apply that to our relationship also by default, I guess it's a good thing. What do you think are the other advantages of dating an entrepreneur? Let's sell to these people what dating an entrepreneur is like.
I mean, I think kind of that what was the same as Janine mentioned as the original disadvantages is stuff like this, understanding the time freedom and the flexibility, and that, you know, when you're coming from the corporate job, that's confusing and hard to deal with, et cetera. But, you know, once you're both in that, of course, you have ultimate life freedom and can travel around the world and pursue hobbies and make more interesting friends and this kind of stuff. I think one thing that Janine had as a fear when she started becoming an entrepreneur was, where am I going to get friends? Because, you know, when you have corporate life, you just have these default friends that are just in your life, right? And obviously, when you're out on your own as an entrepreneur and a nomad, you have to actually go make friends. And that was a well-founded fear, which I said, yes, you have to learn how to flex that muscle and how to become more social. But at the same time, you get to actually choose your friends that have common interests with you and common life goals and mental space. And so if you're willing to put in a little bit more work, you can actually have a really healthy, diverse, interesting friend circle that can be really supportive and it can be really good. But that's, you know, kind of takes a little bit of change there.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I do miss the office conversations, the hanging out at the pantry, but I would not trade being an entrepreneur, meeting people from different parts of the world, the different backgrounds, different inspiring stories and people who took a gamble on themselves. Obviously, that's just a great environment to be in. So I would say also, in my opinion, one of the main advantages of dating an entrepreneur is just to have someone with a kind of like a bigger view of the world. Because I feel like when you decide to be an entrepreneur, you're thinking like, this is a problem that I want to solve, and I'm going to work to be the best at solving this problem. Hopefully, most entrepreneurs think like that, but for me personally, I think like that. And even if it's a selfish reason, like money, I'm going to be the best at this, so I can have the most money in the least amount of time. Just like that kind of thinking for me is just so attractive. And there's a lot of benefits in having that mindset in life.
Yeah, for sure. As a former normie,
Recovery.
is that on your
Yeah,
LinkedIn? Is
recovering
that on your
normie,
LinkedIn,
former normie. I definitely appreciated the different perspective on life that they bring, especially a location independent entrepreneur, because they have a different lens on life. They see the whole world as a possibility. It's very refreshing to see. Also very scary at the beginning. It's like, what do you mean you're gonna do X, Y, and Z? It's like, is that
Right.
even possible? It's like, no, yeah, it's possible. Like, these people have already done it, and we are also gonna do it.
Yeah, I used to have a friend of mine who would always say that, these successful people, these millionaires, some of them are like more stupid than you. So why wouldn't you succeed or something like that? But I would also
Most of them
say,
are. They're just persistent, really, is what
exactly.
you'll see. It's always interesting when you meet some of these people that you've seen online for a long time that have done really amazing things or accomplished really big things, and you learn very quickly that they're just like the rest of us, just normal people. And obviously different people have different base genetic intelligence level, but there's a lot of very successful people that essentially just won the game by brute force, and they had an open enough mind to give it a shot, and then they just kept going and kept going, and then stuff hits, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also do want to highlight, the other side. There are also a lot of benefits to dating someone who's employed, because especially if they have a certain experience or a certain expertise, like if they are a lawyer or a doctor or something like that, there's definitely a level of intelligence there that a lot of entrepreneurs will find attractive. Or, like someone in tech, someone in a big, really big company, there's a lot of learning that like for me personally, my partner works at Amazon. He's like a manager. I learn a lot of like leadership principles, people management principles that I would never learn because I've just put my businesses, started all of my businesses with duct tape and bubble gum. I was just basically winging it. And like, I meet this guy who has like years and years of experience in like Microsoft and Amazon. And there's just also a lot to learn from that. I think that if someone is intelligent and open and has great worldviews, sometimes it doesn't. And of course, if their lifestyle fits with yours, my partner can work remotely. I think it's not exactly like, a dead end that it wouldn't work if someone's employed and someone's like an entrepreneur, as long as like a lot of the things in your life matches. So we're not like, when we say normies, we're just like making it as a joke. I don't want our listeners to think that we are, we think that if you have a job, it's not, like we don't like you or something like that. We're just making it a joke amongst us because Janine thought that that version of her is a normie, and so she calls herself a normie. So I just want to confirm that because I don't want to get canceled. This is something big. What is the biggest sacrifice that you've ever made for your partner? Ooh, your freedom? Just kidding.
I quit my job and packed my bags.
Oh, close your eyes and believe in Jesse we trust.
Exactly.
You should have that as a shirt, Janine. In Jesse we trust.
Jesse we trust.
It almost sounds like Jesus anyway.
Yeah, I know. Then I might get canceled.
By the Filipinos. Yeah. What about you, Jesse? What did you think was your biggest sacrifice that you made for your partner?
Oh boy, where do I start?
Your credit score.
Jokes,
just
jokes,
kidding.
Jokes. I mean, I think probably just generally making the decision that, you know, we were going to try to make this work and then kind of building my life around that. Obviously, I was already nomading and had a business and this kind of stuff. So as Janine mentioned, I kind of like helped show her how this world works and this kind of stuff. So that took a substantial amount of mental space and time. When we met and then I started coming to the Philippines, and since I was already a nomad, I said, hey, you know, I'm not just going to move to the Philippines and get a dog and a car and start my life here. You know, I live around the world. And so, but I really like what we're doing. So for the first maybe 2 years or so, we kind of came to the agreement that I was going to spend every other month in Manila. So I would live there for a month and then I would go to wherever else and kind of do that every other month. And, you know, obviously that was a lot of change from my previous version of nomading, which was just go anywhere, anytime with no requirements of anything. So I'd say that was probably the biggest shift that and like mental and time investment that I had to make that was super worth it.
Aw, that's so cute. And of course, you know, to add to that, because I have intel on your relationship, just kidding, I don't have intel, but like, but to add to the second level of the American Ninja Warrior is the passport stuff, right? Like, you guys are... Do you need a tequila shot right now, Janine? I have a Philippine passport. And honestly, like going to different countries was just fucking like American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, we've had to definitely spend a lot of time dealing with visa applications and learning how the system works everywhere and this kind of thing. And, you know, obviously once you do it for a little while and once you have your own business and once you have some income and all of this kind of stuff, it becomes easier.
Yeah.
You know, the world is just looking for Filipinos that are trying to immigrate and take jobs. So when you can show that you already have your own business and that you are making some money, that makes it a bit easier. But yes, obviously it's a little bit, tougher than the fancy passports that the birth lottery has given me and some of my other fellow Westerners.
Yeah, and so that this just goes to show that you guys were really invested in your relationship at that point in your life, even though Janine had a corporate job and you had a business. And it seems like at face value, you know, maybe it was a difficult thing to plan, but you know, your love for each other and how much you liked each other from the start kind of erased that and got over those hurdles. So as maybe like a part of our closing conversation, what are the tips that you can give to our audience on how they can attract the best partner for them, whether they're an entrepreneur or not, and how can they approach a relationship that would be fully beneficial for them? Go on Tinder, number one.
Yeah, go on Tinder. I offer consultancy. No, I'm kidding. I think it's, you know, kind of like the golden rule of like do unto others kind of thing. Like be the partner you want to be. Mm-hmm. You want to have. I mean, be the partner you want to have. You know, like if you want someone who is understanding, flexible, will hear you out, like also be that person. You can't just keep asking for things without giving it back.
I think I would say just trying to be as clear and figuring out what it is that you want and that you're open to. Because a lot of people have a few really strong kind of life ethos that are important to them. And it's easy when you're swept away in the lust of an early relationship to be like, oh, I don't really care about, you know, oh, it's fine. Yeah, I don't mind that they whatever, when really, you know, like in 6 months, you're going to absolutely despise that. So, you know, being honest with your partner and with yourself about, you know, which things are really important in your life goals and which things are, you know, something that you're open to hearing other options and being flexible to, you know, moving ahead on, you know. So for example, in our case with when we met and I had to be very clear that, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a nomad and this is very important in my life. And so, you know, then Janine has to kind of look at that and say, okay, do I get that? Does that make sense? Does that fit into my life? Or, you know, is it really important for me to have the white picket fence and the four kids and the dogs in some suburb of the Philippines or
no
something?
No four kids.
So, you know, just as one random example, obviously there's a million things like that, but it's easy to get swept up. If say, for example, that she, you know, didn't really like traveling or didn't really like the concept of this lifestyle, even though it was new, it's easy to get swept up in the moment and say, oh, you know what? Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm into that. And then later you end up despising your partner because of the choices that have been made. And or the same thing could happen. I've seen it a million times where these entrepreneurs, similar to myself, you know, they spend 5 years finally becoming location independent and building their business. And then they leave their home country and then they get to the first country and then they meet a girl the first week and then they don't leave for 10 years. And then it's like, well, what happened to all that freedom that you built? You know, so
right.
Just kind of being careful about that instead of getting swept up in the moment and you know, whatever the things are, being sure that you try to zoom out a little bit and be really clear with your partner about those things and not getting too far into something that might lead you down a path you might regret later.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot, Jesse. I feel like it should be taken from a deep sense of kind of a self-trust. Like you know what you want. And you know that you're always working towards what you want as an entrepreneur, especially. And if there's someone, even though you're infatuated with them, they're awesome, they're super hot and all that, and you enjoy the time together. If you know deep down that it wouldn't work, you know, do not keep things in the fog, as Jordan Peterson said, and move on because you're going to look back and regret that. I personally have experienced that just living each day, you know, one day at a time, because I like this person so much. But I knew deep down he doesn't fit in my future. So I definitely, you know, just like in business, it's kind of, I felt like I was doing like a shiny object thing, or like I bought this franchise because it was the hit franchise business. And then I operated this business for like 6 months, even though I know that this business is going to die in terms of fad, because it was a fad business. So, you know, if I was to use like a business metaphor, that's what happened.
I think with relationships, we all probably learn that lesson the hard way, but it bears repeating, because if you learn it the hard way over a 20-year relationship, then that's probably not good.
Yeah. And then it's time that you can't get back. And then your dreams, the big things that you want, like if you want kids, like legacy, you just probably have wasted your chance in building those. And that will be a really bad regret when you're older.
For sure.
Yeah. So, well, before we leave, thank you so much, guys. I'm super grateful to be able to sit down here with you and have this conversation. I want our listeners to know where you guys are now, what you're doing now, you know, far cry from probably the corporate normie that Janine was and Jesse nomading in the Philippines. What do you guys do now? Where can we find your story, and how can we follow you?
Yeah, so I'm working on a blog startup. It's called Drop In Blog. Helps you put a blog on any site that was not built in WordPress. We've been doing that for a few years. It's pretty exciting. So you can see that at dropinblog.com. Or if you want to follow me socially in business, it's on Twitter, or on Instagram is more for the social type stuff. So both of those are at my full name, Jesse Schoberg.
Jesse Schoberg. So follow him, guys, on Twitter and Instagram. And if you are a business owner, you have a business website and you want an easy way to put a blog on your website, definitely check out dropinblog.com. So what about you, Janine? Where can we find you and what are you doing now?
Right now, like I mentioned earlier, I organize fun stuff for entrepreneurs, mainly for the DC, the Dynamite Circle. So if you want to join one of the events that I organize, you can go to dynamitecircle.com and join us. For personal stuff, I've started documenting our travels on my Instagram. It's at Janine Takes You.
That's awesome. So I met Janine for the first time this year in Playa del Carmen at the Dynamite Circle event. I absolutely love this mastermind. So definitely check them out. And we have upcoming events, I think, in Mexico City, April.
Mexico City in April. Dates will be announced to the DC members soon. So if you want to join us, you should come be a member.
Yeah, and I'll do a quick pitch here for Dynamite Circle. For me personally, Dynamite Circle is a great network of location independent entrepreneurs that are super growth focused, generous, open, kind, and I've built a lot of surprisingly amazing and deep friendships in this mastermind. And it was super funny how I actually got to meet these people, because I randomly got dragged into an after conference drinking thing at Gin Gin in Mexico City in 2021. So that's how I got to meet these people. And I was like, oh, they are so cool and I want to join. So definitely check them out. You will find me in almost all of the DC events too from now on. I'm definitely a convert. So dynamitecircle.com. You'll also see Janine just being a boss in these events. And you'll see that she's very, very far from the corporate normie that she was. So once again, thank you so much, guys. I'm super grateful. And I'm super happy to see both of you, of course, cheering my Filipina sister on. And and I'll see you around. Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
All right. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Scalewind, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit scalewind.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.